Early. It's May 18th, and it might seem crazy, but I'm here again on a show without a guest. We're trying to get our guest, who's supposed to be Chris Dyer, CEO, connected, but right now, no luck. So we are going to have to listen to me do HR improv. I was at the Workforce Strategies Conference in San Antonio. That's a big legal conference put on by Ogletree Deacons last week. Saw some really great HR and legal updates, including a whole bunch of stuff about NLRB and quickie elections. But some of the other sessions I went to were quite interesting. One was legal issues surrounding legal marijuana in the workplace, and I heard an astounding statistic which said that in Colorado, there are 600 legal pot stores in the state right now and only 300 Starbucks. So that means that there are two times as many pot stores as there are Starbucks in the state of Colorado. And the lawyer who was doing the talk wearing a Colorado weed T-shirt, by the way, from Ogletree Deacons, also cited a statistic that said that legal marijuana sales will exceed $1 billion in the state of Colorado this year, and it is far beyond what they expected in terms of revenue and taxes. That was very interesting. A number of other discussions around how do you reconcile marijuana in the workplace with prohibition policies, because under the Colorado state law, while it's legal to consume marijuana in the state of Colorado, employers are also entitled to legally prohibit employers from using it. So there are all kinds of questions about drug testing and legality and ADA and many others. Another session I went to was on the issue of transgender employees in the workplace, and much discussion, as you might imagine, about how to deal with this. The federal government, OFCCP, EEOC, have begun to prosecute cases. There's a current case just filed against Barnes & Noble. Big lot of litigation in this area right now. Of course, it has some notoriety with all the news recently about Bruce Jenner. But one of the most interesting basic facts that I learned in this session was that it would be probably illegal if you were to try to require a person who's going through gender transition, if you were requiring them to use a separate bathroom, you're pretty much, our guest. Chris.
Hello.
Chris?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Awesome. This is Mike Vandervoort, and I was actually in the midst of an extended improv of the beginning of the show. So bear with me while we get sorted out here for just a second. We had some technical glitches, and our guest today is Chris Dyer. Chris, you and I didn't even get a chance to talk, no pre-show. So thanks for calling in. This show is actually being recorded, so we're live. But this show is going to be recorded and then played again as a podcast. Why don't we set the stage by first of all,
are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, yes, go ahead. So he said,
all right, we're having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio today, I think. I don't know how much of what I said you heard. The show's being recorded early. It'll play at 1 o'clock. And what I was asking,
right.
What I was saying is that you're our guest, Chris Dyer, from, is it People G2? Is that the correct company name?
Absolutely, that's correct. Yeah.
All right, so why don't you tell us about who Chris Dyer is, since we didn't get a chance to do any pre-show discussion. Tell us about where you're at, what you're doing, and your company, and then we'll kind of get into some questions.
Sure, I appreciate you having me on the show, and well done for doing the two-step there. I do a radio show myself every Tuesday, so I've had that unfortunate opportunity to do what you just did, so good job at keeping it going. But my day-to-day job is being the CEO of a company called People G2, which I started back in 2001. It's a background check and employment screening firm. We're nationwide, and we help companies all the different types of people-related decisions that they might need to make. We help them with different types of screenings and solutions that they have. But really, since 2009, when we saw that, you know, HR was really getting the brunt of the recession, we decided that we were going to take it upon ourselves to start trying to develop content and provide some level of education and, you know, things that were important to them as a part of our, you know, overall process or overall kind of offering. Now, when we started that off, there's nothing that we were selling. It was just, can we write good blog posts? Can we get people together and do think tanks? Can we talk about stuff? You know, what's happening? Can we just help them kind of survive this time? And that turned into a radio show, and that kind of then turned into some other stuff for me as well. I do some consulting around company culture, virtual success, because my company went completely virtual back in 2009, and, you know, around that whole space of employee engagement as well. So, you know, at the very core, we're helping you make sure you have, you know, a good person sitting at the table that doesn't have a past that may be problematic for your company from a risk standpoint. But beyond that, we're also trying to really be a force for the discussion about who's the right fit from a culture standpoint, and to make sure your company really has the best people there, and that your HR team has the most education and support that they have to really drive home all those different goals from, you know, engagement to culture to whatever it may be. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So just by the way, since you mentioned it, what's the name of your radio show? Is it Talent Talk? Does that
yeah,
seem to
yeah.
be a yeah. Where
yeah.
can people?
Yeah. So certainly, if you want to do the podcast thing, you can look us up. I think we've got like 150,000 people a week as of last week that are downloading the podcast via iTunes. You can also hear us live on TuneIn Radio, and we're going to be syndicated on iHeartRadio here in a couple weeks. So, if you just type in Talent Talk on your podcast, you know, app, you can hear all the past shows. Or certainly you're welcome to find me on Twitter to send me a message, and I'll be happy to give you the direct links and all that stuff, or find me on LinkedIn, whatever it may be.
Yep, and Twitter is at PeopleG2, is that correct?
Correct, that's the company one, and then mine is at ChrisDyer7.
Okay, great. All right, well, so Chris, the podcast thing, is that it, you said that you do that once a week on Tuesdays. Is that a one-hour show, half-hour show?
Yeah, we do a one-hour show, and we generally, although not always, we generally have two guests on and kind of split that time up between them. On an average show, you're getting an HR leader who's, you know, got a lot of great content or great suggestions on what they're doing to find great talent, to keep great, to motivate that talent. And then the other person, again, on an average basis, would be an entrepreneur, CEO, and we're trying to figure out what makes them tick and what is it that they're doing that's special. What are their talents that we might want to try to add to our repertoire as well. So it's that kind of that double meaning of the word talent there, you know. What are the talents that we can learn from, and then how are people dealing with their talent within the organization?
Okay, so you founded your company. I was just looking at your website, since I finally managed to get it up and running. Not your website, but just the whole technology thing today. You founded People G2 in 2001, so you've been around quite a while.
Yeah, we've been around. We used to have a different name that everyone confused with being an insurance company, but we changed to People G2 a few years ago, kind of rebranded. It was a completely different world, background check in 2001 than it is today. We feel like our offering and how we handle our customers is actually much more in line with how things are being done with from a compliance level, a case law level, and certainly FCRA and state laws, things like that.
Yeah, and you do some other types of screening as well, which I'm just looking at your website. So you also do you've diversified your offerings a little bit as well. So you've kind of broadened your into the social realm to share content and stuff to bring your business forward. But you also have some offerings in other business verticals as well. I guess is what I've taken out of this from a quick audit of your website.
Yeah, when we started the company, when I started it really was about employment screening, and that's what I knew. I came from another employment screening company, and but we quickly found out that our clients, they wanted to do those kinds of checks in other areas. So if you are going to do something with another person in a business transaction, a business relationship, then we have a solution to help you check that person out or their company out to make sure that there's not some sort of red flag there that you should be concerned about. We have clients say, hey, I'm going to do this huge contract with this company. I want to make sure they can actually pay their bills. They're not going to go, bankrupt on me because it's a huge contract. So we need to check out their client. We have people say, you do our background check, but can you also do some tenant screening? Things like that. So we definitely have a very diversified offering. But at the very core, we're looking at employees more times than not, from a day-to-day basis.
Sure. Since we kind of jumped in the middle there, we have 17 and a half minutes left on the show. So since this was a bit of a disjointed opening, this is Mike Vandervoort. Today is May 18th, and our guest today is Chris Dyer from People G2. He's the CEO of that company, ground screening company. We had a little bit of a glitch at the start, so you got to hear me do some conference last week improv, and then Chris has joined us. Chris, on Drive Through HR, we have like three scripted questions we usually ask, and first one is, what keeps you right now in the world today? What keeps you, and this is probably maybe even more appropriate, your clients up at night? What are the things people are worrying about today?
Well, we're based in California, so we have a lot of California clients that are really worried about some of the recent law changes around sick time and vacation time, things like that, that were instituted and how it has to be documented and put on the payroll slips and things like that. So I think we always have a lot of clients that are worried about compliance. But I would say from our clients' perspective, a lot of what's keeping them up at night is there are so many, it almost seems to double or triple every year, the amount of lawsuits that are being filed against companies for doing some part of their background check incorrectly. And, so when they come to us, they've usually finally gotten to that point where they realize that choosing that provider that was giving it to them, we can get you the results in an hour and it only costs you $5, that maybe that wasn't the best choice. Maybe that wasn't a real background check. And now they've gotten sued and are dealing with some really big problems, they come to us to help them fix that problem and run real background checks that are actually legally compliant, will actually be good information. So that is something we've seen. I almost can't tell you the absolute shift we've seen. I mean, 3 years ago, we were having these conversations and people were saying, yeah, I get it, but I'm going to take the cheapest one over here. I'm going to take this. I won't name any names, but, this low bottom of the barrel check because I just need a rubber stamp that says I did something. And now they've gotten sued, maybe almost been out of business, and they're coming back and saying, yeah, we should have listened to you, so we're ready now. And, our phone is ringing from people who we talked to 3 years ago, which is really a fascinating and bizarre experience. How do you quantify a sales channel that, you know, you're not really, you're not in charge of at the end of the market sort of pushing? So we're seeing companies that are being sued because their release forms are not correct. You know, in California, for every violation of some of these different civil codes that relate to what's on the release form, what how you do your adverse action, things like that, it's a $10,000 fine per instance. No damages need to have actually occurred. So if they find, the lawyer finds one person whose release form was not correct, you owe them $10,000 plus attorney fees and all the other. And then they go in and say, well, we'd like to file a class action. Please send us everyone you ever had a release form with in the last X amount of years. Well, now, if you can imagine how many applicants you may have had to sign that piece of paper, sign $10,000, you're in a world of hurt real quick. Now,
and there are law firms that are kind of developing practices around that, right? I mean, that because there are law firms
that's all they do. And there is a pretty big case in front of the Supreme Court right now that could challenge this whole notion of not having damages and getting a fine and things like that. Everyone in the industry is sort of watching that very carefully, as well as Spokio. So that could change things for the better, but nonetheless, there are firms whose entire practice is just finding an applicant that had one problem, and now that company is going to have class action for everything. So it's a pretty big problem. You know, we see that companies tend to screw up their background checks in one of three areas, either the beginning part, like the release form and notices, things like that. I would say that's probably the most common. Then they screw it up by not being consistent with their actual background check or running a legal background check that's been done correctly and has been, all the information has been verified, you know, in the way in which the law expects it to be. And then the last one is in the adverse action component. So, hey, they found something. Do they tell the applicant? Do they give them a copy? Do they send them the letter? Do they give them the opportunity to contest it? We see that, you know, those are in one of those three buckets or more is where companies are just kind of falling on their face. And when they get caught by one of these firms, it's a bigger problem than you can ever imagine.
So this may be a stretch in the analogy I'm going to give, but I'm trying to use it to set up this question, I guess. I was at this conference that Ogletree Deacons, it's called Workforce Strategies in 2015. It's Ogletree Deacons' major client conference that they run, like so many big law firms, once a year, right? So they covered all kinds of different topics. And one of the ones that I went to was actually on legal marijuana in the workplace, which I was talking about a little bit before you called in as filler. It was interesting to me because they were referencing, and I know this isn't your space, but they were referencing the standards of testing analysis versus hair sampling versus, you know, other possible blood tests, hair analysis as the gold standard is if you're doing long-term kinds of you know, if you're searching chronic users. I guess what I'm trying to ask you about with using that little analogy is, in the, you know, you mentioned that some of your customers are going for the cheap, quick check. What is the right level of a background check for employers? What kind of things should an HR person be looking for, Chris, if they're trying to find a vendor, you know, whether it's you or someone else?
Well, you know, this is one of the challenges that companies have, is it's really hard for them to know what they don't know. There are so many different ways in which you can run a background check and call it a background check. Whether or not it meets all of the standards of federal law and state laws is a whole other thing. So what we see a lot in the industry is, I'll give you an example. Let's pretend I gave you a newspaper from 6 months ago. A newspaper, the comics might be okay. There might be something in there you could use, but the coupons have expired. Stock prices are irrelevant. What Putin's doing in the Ukraine has completely changed. I mean, you wouldn't make your travel plans based on that. You certainly wouldn't, you know, decide what's happening in the world based on that newspaper from 6 months ago. And yet, that is essentially what a lot of companies are selling employers. They are grabbing bulk data from the courts, and they're making their own sort of databases, and then they're trying to sell that off as updated information. They're not verifying that with the courts on a consistent or proper basis. What we're doing is closer to real-time news. And then, so you should be looking for a vendor that is going directly to the court every time, not using a database. Now, a national database or sex offender data, there are certainly some databases that are fine to, as add-ons to a package. But for the actual criminal search, you know, are you running a county criminal search? Are you running a federal search? Are you running, you know, these different components? That's what's really, really important to make sure that, you know, we actually send people into the courthouses to do the actual research so that you're getting this real-time response, because things change. Applicants get their files changed. They get things dismissed. They go to, you know, diversion. Things get dropped from a felony to a misdemeanor. There's all sorts of information that gets radically changed, not to mention the whole component of making sure that that record really is your applicant. People don't realize, but there are not Social Security numbers on these files. In many cases, they've redacted things like addresses and, you know, so it's someone's name and date of birth. But I've seen reports from other vendors where it's somebody's name and the date of birth isn't even the same, and they send them back 500 records if someone has a name match, and the employer doesn't know what to do with it. They go, is this my guy? Is this not my guy? And then they just move on to the next person, and they get themselves in trouble there. And you know, think about the poor applicant. If that none of those records were there, they're getting passed on jobs that maybe they're perfectly qualified for because of bad data, because of, you know, kind of mismanaged information sources. So that's why there's a lot of consolidation happening in industry. That's why there's a lot of fines happening and bankruptcies happening, because some of these firms that are selling this poor data are really kind of feeling the pressure and the weight of the backlog of problems that this really does cause for employers.
Okay. So I think the lesson, if there's one takeaway, is it's much more complicated than it sounds, and all those vendors at the Sherm National booth, all of whom are talking background checks and we do it better, we do it faster, we do it social. There's a lot of things that you need to dig underneath the hood to make sure that they're really providing you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the best ways is, you know, you should test the company. You know, if you're really interested in three or four companies, then why not work with them all, you know, at the same time? Why not, like, I get this all the time. I look at, like, recruiting firms, and companies will bring in two or three, four recruiting firms, and they'll give them each part of the project, and they'll see who can really, you know, deliver on their promises. But I would tell you, like, 99% of the time, companies, especially larger companies, will pick one background check firm, and they will say, this is our firm for the next 2 years. And no matter how bad that firm is, well, that's who our company is for this period of time. They do no real testing. They don't really, you know, validate or verify, you know, if their claims are true, if the information is valid. I mean, you can find some test cases, or there are ways in which to test vendors. There are very few companies that actually do that. It shocks me. They just pick one vendor, and part of that's an ease thing. It could also be a technology thing, you know, that they want to get everything integrated, or they just want it all just, you know, wrapped up in a nice bow. But I see how well and how diversified the testing is in other parts of the, you know, the, from a vendor's perspective, you know, for HR, but not for background checks. They seem to just assume that everyone is providing the same thing, that everyone is going to the same place, and that everyone is providing the same service. And nothing could be farther from the truth. It is, there are just huge variances out there on what you're getting and what you're not getting from different companies in the space.
Excellent. I think that's an excellent point. Thank you. So we're now, Chris, 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes left. I've asked one question. Second question, which is kind of that, in my mind anyway, the first one is like, what's the problems? The second one is, what's top of mind for you right now? And I always kind of view that as the what's the upside? What's going on in your industry that's on the upside for employers and you?
Well, we're certainly seeing a huge amount of growth. Companies are hiring really, really well. And in fact, I don't know if you heard this recently, but the amount of quits is up. So people are feeling really confident about the job market. So there's a lot more people quitting. And so they're looking for new jobs, new opportunities. The market for really good talent is starting to dry up, but I think that's kind of good for applicants, that they have, you know, a little more leverage and they have better opportunities out there to look for. But companies are doing a lot better. They're a lot healthier. We see HR departments are getting back to where they should be, so that not only are they a part of that strategic conversation, but they have the resources to get the tactical things done that are really important to keep their company, you know, risk-free as much as possible. But we're just kind of seeing a really good, you know, pattern of that growth, and I think that's great for employers. It's good for us from a business perspective. And, you know, companies who we always have had a strong relationship with, like staffing and recruiting, you know, they're still seeing a very heavy growth pattern. I think that's a great way for companies to continue forward, is to utilize those types of firms so that they can grow in the right ways and be smart about how they're doing that. Staffing and recruiting does seem to really be a even more strategic role than maybe it was, you know, 8 years ago.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I've always been much more of a generalist or a you know, kind of a labor and employee relations specialist than I've been staffing. But yeah, staffing and human capital, acquiring human capital is just.
Are you there? I'm not sure if I'm hearing you.
Yeah, I think your cell maybe is kicking up. We had some background noise, but I think, am I okay now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think something in the connection is cutting us out here. But so we got just a little bit under 3 minutes left, Chris, since we got a little bit of a late start. What's up with G2, you know, people G2, what's coming next, and I guess close us out with where people can find you, kind of give us a good wrap on your company and your services so that we can make sure you get the right pitch in here.
Sure. So, you know, we're hosting a big HR conference for HR executives next Wednesday. I think we have maybe 3 tickets left. So if you're interested in that, go to our website, peopleg2.com, and you can type in OCHR Summit. I think up in that search bar you should be able to find the link to register if you're going to be local. But, you know, for us, it's really we've been able to do a lot in our desire to want to support HR, and we're really happy about that. We've been really fortunate to get a lot of great press recently with Inc, and we've been at Forbes and, on the Baker's Dozen list from HRO as far as top background check companies. So we really feel like we're in a great place this year to be able to demonstrate to firms, you know, what we're doing, what our offering is, and that we can provide them something that they can, you know, sleep tight at night. At least if they're going to stay up and be worried at night, it's not going to be about their firm, the background check firm. So if you want to learn more, peopleg2.com. Of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, all those different places that you want to interact there. And certainly if you're interested at all in the radio show, or if you're an HR executive and would like to be on the radio show, we're always looking for guests as well. And feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn as well. And I'm happy to do it.
Great. We've got 45 seconds. So appreciate you coming on the show. Appreciate you flexing your schedule and letting us get it in a little early. It'll play at 1 p.m. Eastern time, which is where I'm at. I guess you're in California, so that's what, a little 10?
I'm actually driving out in the middle of Utah.
That would explain why you're getting a spotty signal. Yeah, I live in the mountains in Georgia. Yeah, so listen, thanks for being on. We'll drop the show and get it played this afternoon. And as Chris said, for his own show, you can pick it up on iTunes or off the Blog Talk Radio website. Chris, have a great afternoon and drive, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I apologize for a little bit of the technical stuff, but maybe we'll do it again some other time when I'm on a landline.